you to ask some more. About
more. Nothing. There's nothing more to say. But it was not from the earth. It was salvation is created, and so then what happens is it was the sonic boom wasn't from the volcano. It was from the sky. Now on land and sea descending. Remember the songs we sung?
Oh, that's what that line means. The land and sea descending. So you
Now on land and sea descending. That's it.
Right. And an example of that is the satellite picture of the explosion coming out of the Pacific Ocean. And people think it's a volcano or some sonic boom or something, but it's not.
It was a sonic boom, but it came from the sea descending.
Is that the aliens? Came from alien technology?
We don't want to go too far into that.
No, it is. It is coming from them, right?
Yeah. Soon as dies the sunset glory, stars of heaven shine out above, telling still the ancient story, their creator's endless love. Jubilante, 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 amen. Then you go, now once our burdens leaving to our God who cares for all, cease we fearing, cease we grieving, touched by God our burdens fall. As the darkness deepens o'er us, eternal stars arise, hope and faith and love rise glorious, shining in the Spirit's, capital S, sky. It's very interesting when you start singing a Vesper hymn that's blending.
What's the name of that hymn? The title.
Okay, here we go. Ready? You're going to love this. Now on land and sea descending.
Who wrote that and when?
Samuel Longfellow in 1859.
Okay.
Page 107 in the Vesper Hymns.
Okay. Can we play this part? The lyrics, yes. You're explaining the alien involvement,
sure.
And all that.
Sure.
Apparently, Gene Dixon told Mrs. Nixon or Richard that the catastrophe comes in 2020. Did she say that?
Yes, she did.
So,
and she was right.
Very important.
She did.
And she could see she couldn't see Bob and Carol involved, right? She couldn't see that.
Yes, she did. She saw you as J.R. Bob Dobbs.
And one the time cartoon
made a reference. It was the illegitimate son of Othniel Hobab. She said that one time. That's in her record. You can find that.
Wow.
The illegitimate son of Othniel Hobab.
It's a little bit protracted.
But otherwise, how do you get big dogs if you're not illegitimate? So, you see, it just happens that way sometimes.
But that's, we're talking about J.R. Bob Dobbs came out of a jackal. That's illegitimate.
Ass of a jackal, yes.
Yeah.
That's correct. And of Othniel.
Was that in Paris, 1922?
No, it wasn't Paris. We don't know where it was, Bob. Your mama was a knockabout and your daddy was a traveling salesman. So.
The traveling butler.
That's right.
So who did Gene say that to?
Selling his fuller brushes anywhere he could. He's a fuller brush man for sure.
So who did Gene Dixon say that to about 2020?
Marjorie Holcomb. She was a client.
Okay, so then did that get to the Nixons?
Yes, it did. But more than that, what it got to Avaton and Vicky.
How did it get to them?
They knew Marjorie.
Wow. So
that's why. Otherwise, why would you ask? Otherwise, why would you? You know, other than the awareness, why would you ask that? You see what I'm saying? Other than that connection, it wouldn't make any, you know what I'm saying? It wouldn't matter.
Did
it's like, who cares about Walter Bort? Who cares about Walter Bort?
Well, who does? Like, why are you bringing that up? What's that going to do with...
Same thing. Why would Gene Dixon be all involved or Marjorie be involved to ask that about you, her, that about you? See, it doesn't make any sense.
Why did it happen? Why did it happen?
Well, because there's a connection with Vicky and Abaton.
Oh, I see. And...
Paul Seibel.
Yeah, that's right, Paul Seibel. When did Donald Trump find out this stuff about Gene Dixon?
From his mother.
Not from his friendship with Richard Nixon in 87, starting in 87.
Well, that was already connected. You always obfuscate the Cohen. Bob, the Cohen brothers knew everything. There's nothing that went on anywhere that they weren't aware of. So he didn't have to know anything. Didn't have to know anything because the Cohen brothers knew everything. Trump.
Okay, who were the Cohen brothers? I don't know who they are.
Yes, you know, the Cohen, the fixer, Trump's fixer.
No, I don't Cohen. Know that.
Yes, you do. You talk about him every single week. The Cohen was the fixer. Bob.
Never heard of him. How do you spell his name?
C-O-H-E-N, Cohen.
Looked up. Here's what's interesting. I found out reading this new book on Zappa that Herbie Cohen, his manager, was the nephew of Mickey Cohen, who ran the mafia in L.A. in the 50s and 60s.
Uh-huh.
Right? Is that the Cohens you're talking about?
Same family, but that was not the one. It's the same family.
So, Herbie, now, Jimmy Carr Black says this when he's being interviewed back in 2006, and he talks about Herbie Cohen, the band in the 60s didn't like him because they knew there was something sleazy about him, but they found out later that Herbie wasn't stealing from Frank or ripping the mothers off. Frank was ripping the mothers off.
Right.
Was that a correct perception by Jimmy Carl Black?
Yes.
Okay. So he said later he kind of liked Herbie Cohen. So Herbie Cohen got the wrong deal. But then he says later in the situation, he talks about the control of Mickey Cohen over L.A. social life and all that and Hollywood. And he then says Herbie Cohen's his nephew. I rest my case. That's how he says.
Right.
I rest my case. In other words, we're supposed to say, oh, so Herbie had these connections. He ran all the coffee houses in L.A. in the folky period.
Right.
So that pop culture, Pete Seeger and that stuff, late 50s, early 60s that Bob Dylan went into, the mafia run the coffee houses, and Herbie was part of that world through his uncle, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So he was mafia, but he wasn't a hitman mafia guy. He just took advantage of his uncle.
His son, the uncle of Donald Trump's fixer was the daddy to Michael Dean Cohen.
And that's not Mickey Cohen of L.A.
No,
that's another.
It's Michael. Yeah. Michael Dean Cohen.
Okay. So that's what you're talking. That's the Cohens you're talking about. And
his brother. And Michael Cohen's daddy and brother was Trump's fixer. And then, well, Michael Cohen was too for a while, but that's the Cohen brothers. Bob, you've been talking about this forever. Now you act like you never even heard of it before. Listen to your, you need to listen to your archives. You need to call Bert and see what you said. You need to call Bert and see what you said.
Okay, this Cohen stuff we don't say. We don't play this.
I don't care. You ain't no difference to me. Do what you do. Okay.
Okay, so we start off saying the Coen brothers told Trump about Gene Dixon's prediction. How did they know about it?
They heard it from Marjorie.
So,
how come?
So they had a bit of respect, the Coen people had a bit of respect for Gene
all
Dixon?
All mafia respects power. All mafia respects power, Bob. If the mafioso doesn't respect power, they won't be the Don long. Whatever it is will consume them. So the only thing they do for sure is they absolutely respect power and quote authority. And anybody who knows something they don't know is the representation of power and authority.
So that's what I did all these years by hanging out with Cosmic Awareness and the Evergreens. They weren't the power of Ion, but they had some power in their knowing.
Right. Thank God so for your nepotism, Bob.
Yeah, and me as a mafia guy in the Secret Council 10, I respected their power, like the mafia did.
Okay.
Yep.
Like that.
All right. Are the French aliens, the French race, are they aliens? Not human, I guess we're saying.
The whole thing? No, but the country, no, don't say it like that. The country of France has more aliens than it does Frenchmen. But most of that is with what you call the sand niggers. They've taken over. So it's like a wasteland. Paris has become a wasteland. France, Lyon, yeah, pretty much. It's become pretty much a wasteland.
Oh,
so all French people are not alien. But more aliens live in France than do Frenchmen.
Yeah, when people misinterpreted that, Bert and them thought you were talking about, Pentagon-type people, Pentagon aliens. You're just talking about illegal aliens. They're refugees.
Well, no, they're alien aliens. They're real aliens. They're just not French.
And they're from the Middle East?
Some are.
Why are they in France?
It was a safe haven. They could make it nasty. They could invade it. The Champs-Élysées will never be the same, Bob. They froze that all down. I mean, they about dried up the River Seine. The Reed goes.
Right.
It's all but gone.
Does this go back to the Merovingians of 500 A.D.?
Not quite. No. It was a little bit ahead of that. It just turned when all this progressive stuff started. It started getting hot. Merovici and... Hold on, we got this. The Greeks, the Mountbattens, and Philip Mountbatten's mother, she was in the time that was all starting to change, which would be, 100 or so years ago.
Right, and was Prince Philip's mother was an alien? Were these aliens?
No, she was just witness to change.
And what was the change that she saw?
The invasion of all the aliens.
She knew they were aliens?
Yeah. The monarchy knows.
Right. And that's what Queen Elizabeth...
You're talking about Princess Alice of Battenberg.
Yeah, you've talked about her. So... this is why Queen Elizabeth II respects Ion, because she knows a lot of what Ion says. She already knew.
We fuck with the Queen. We fuck with the Queen. She's all
right. Right. Okay, so this talk about Queen Alice and aliens, we don't post that.
It's all right if you want to.
All right.
There's going to be less and less. There's going to be less and less and less that you can't play. You'll be able to play more. You're just going to have to drive your points. You're going to have to drive your points and defend what you say. Because if you ask, we're going to answer it. And we say, we'd like to make it so that you can play. Because we don't want to get caught in this shit where they say, well, you had the Secret of Life, Bob, but you had Ion, and we didn't have Ion, so it's not fair. Yeah. Stop all that. Because we'll tell them one way or the other. But we can tell them in such a way that it's in the middle of a charcuterie board. And they won't know what we're talking about. So, okay. Bert'll get it. Bert knows the difference between fried apple pies and Fig Newtons. Bert knows the difference. Not everybody knows that, you see.
Okay, there's a book called The Necronomicon. N-E-C-R-O-N-O-M.
We don't have to spell it. You don't have to spell it. We know about it.
Okay, so H.P. Lovecraft talked about The Necronomicon. I don't know his works. I haven't read his books. But he mentions it. So then a bunch of guys at the magical child occult bookshop down in New York's Greenwich Village, more in the East Village side, which I used to drop into when we were living there in the 90s, a group of them in the 70s made a new Necronomicon. And it was a, I don't know, collage of different sources. And so the argument in that world, the occult Aleister Crowley world, is whether it was legitimate or not. Now, Alan Cabal, yes, who I met and knew in New York and read his column on the show, he was part of the writing of it. And,
and do you know what the name of H.P. Lovecraft cat's name was?
Cthulhu?
No, Nigger Man. It was Dark Peter okay. Ragdoll. And the cat's name was Nigger Man.
What did you just say about Ragdoll?
A breed of Ragdoll. Dark breed of Ragdoll. A cat.
That's a cat? Okay.
All right. That's the only thing H.P. Lovecraft, the only thing that H.P. Lovecraft is known for is pussy.
Yeah, they're, they associate
that with all and that's the only thing, the only person, the only non-physical would know that, Bob. You got to give us that.
Only would know about the cat.
No, that the cat, H.P. Lovecraft, cat's name was Nigger Man.
Only you would know that. Okay.
We're having the Wikipedia in just a minute. You can do it then.
Right. Did James Wasserman and other associates around the magical child occult, did they do this made-up Necronomicon? Is that true?
No. They were allergic to cats, so they didn't do it.
Who did it? Who wrote the book?
Oh, it was given to them. They found it in a composition notebook. They didn't write it.
The way that Sidney Powell got word from Ion, same kind of documents
indirectly. But see, you got to, don't forget now, you got this whole John Dee world, this whole thing going on that nobody knows is going on, the Mr. Crowley, all that foolishness. That's not going away. Everybody acts like that's not a thing anymore, and it most certainly is. It's not getting any press because now everything goes. See, I mean, it's kind of like the LGBTQRSTXYB. Nobody ever talked about that. That's always going on, but now the thing is a thing. It's like a religion. It's like you're no good unless you're a raging homosexual. You're no count for nothing unless you're a raging homosexual. It's like, now wait a minute, what does that have to do with it? You can't change that. So how does being that or not being that make you better or worse? The same thing with this the cultish divine that you're trying to bring in is the same references that now they're trying to make it as a meme, you see.
Okay, so that meme that was during the rip, is that collapsing now?
No, it's inverting. It's not collapsing, it's inverting.
Mm-hmm. Well, what does that mean? What happens when it's inverting?
So it's when the Republicans win and the Democrats die, like that.
So what happens to the gay people? They're now their second tier?
That's the reason we go back to segregation.
They're allowed to have their own country or city-state. That's what you're saying, right?
Well, it's not quite like that. It's no. You go back to the 60s. It goes back to what the 60s were. You came from the 60s. And everybody got had a libertine gospel. Everybody got saved. Well, now everybody's going back to hell. Herbert W. Armstrong becomes a savior again.
And
Let the proselytizing begin.
So the rip allowed them to be liberated, and now the rip is over, so we go back to pre-rip uptight conditions.
Agreed.
Okay. That's for the people who survive the purge.
Yeah, pretty much. Mostly.
What was the purpose of this book to be given out through the Magical Child Shop's people. I think James Wasserman was one of the people, and there's another guy, Devendra or somebody. It was part of the Libertine Gospel to put out this Necronomicon?
Yes. You gave me something to talk about.
All right. Okay. Now, Sidney Powell
is
going before...
What they meant, it's like the bad versions of the... It's like the bad versions of the Keys and the Ayers was trying to confuse everybody.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned John Dee. That's D-E-E. He's still a factor in the confusion of the tech body. In the information
world. Yeah. He's a driver.
He's a driver of nonsense. Okay. And that's what you were
saying.
He's a
scienter of some of it. A scienter of some of it.
Right. But he does he survive the collapse of the rip? Does his meme keep going?
No.
No, okay. All right. Sidney Powell has to appear before the January 6th committee. I guess that's Pelosi's committee. She says, oh, boy, I get to lay out my evidence. Will Ion be giving her even more documents in the last minute before she appears?
She has them. She has them already. She has everything she needs, Bob. And, oh, what an indictment that's going to ensue. She's already got the lawsuits filed when they spurn her capillaries. You understand those words? When they spurn her capillaries. Look at what a capillary is, and you'll know.
Is that
when they spurn? Capillary.
Capillaries. Well, you think capillary?
Like the blood. Like the blood vessels. Capillaries. When they spurn her capillaries, then what's going to happen is she's going to have perfect reign. Well, no, it's like this. It's like this. It's what Tom McDonald said. It's when you lie to the government, they'll put you in prison. But when the government lies to you, it's called being a politician. So when she gets up there and tells the truth and they try to then gouge her eyeballs out, then she's going to have every legal right to present her evidence. And so what she's going to do is she's going to play them like a bad fiddle and set this all up because this all been built up. We don't want to win a court case, Bob, because the court system is all but failed. Who gives a fuck what the goddamn Supreme Court and SCOTUS fucking comes up with? You can't have sex anymore. It's against the law. No more sex. Who gives a fuck what the SCOTUS said? They can't even decide whether to wear their mask on their vaginas or over their mouths. They don't know what to cover up anymore, Bob. So nobody cares what they say. And if they do care, then there's going to be 250 Supreme Court justices for life. They're going to be there forever. It's going to be amazing. But anyway, nobody cares. Nobody wants to win a court case. This goes back to the Convention of States. This is what the evidentiary base to say that the individual states have the supreme right based on the Constitution. I hope Mexico has a good drug deal so they can pay for the Constitution because y'all not using your Constitution presently. Y'all not using it. So I hope they pay for it so you have a little bit of folding money before it's too late. Meanwhile, the stock market's dropping like a rock.
Right. So the Convention of States will bring in a new Constitution and the old one will be sold to Mexico.
Well, it's already, you might as well sell it now. You're not using it.
Right.
The Republic, if you can keep it, says Benjamin Franklin, if you can keep it. So don't worry about that, because that doesn't matter. They're not going to live long enough to complain about that. So it's okay.
Who, the Mexicans? No,
the people that are going to be offended with the Convention of States. People are not going to be happy about the Convention of States. So, and that's okay that they're not. It's okay that they're not because they're not going to live long enough to matter. Basically.
Right. Now, Sidney Powell, you're talking about when she appears before them, they're going to tear her ass at the beginning, and then she gets to respond. And she'll lay out this stuff, and it'll be so devastating, that will trigger the Convention of States. Sidney's going to cause that.
Well, Yeah, your rudiment is a little bit off. She's going to give words, they're going to give words, and you know they've already decided how it's going to go before she ever shows up. She knows that, and she's already filed suits to quell their debentures that'll put them on Jump Street. So basically, if they can drag her before Congress, then guess what? And then she can ask them questions. What did you know? How much did you have a play in the January 6th? What did you not do to save America? So she has the right to have a rebuttal. And if they don't give her that right for rebuttal, she can file a lawsuit accusing them of the thing they're accusing her of doing, which is exactly what the Democrats have been doing all the way along. Russia, Russia, Russia. It comes out the Democrats is who's got the Russia involved in the shit. Everything they accuse Trump of doing is what they were doing.
And
all of them.
Okay, so it'll look in the mainstream stupid non-media, the legacy media, that, you know, within the first weeks or so after her performance, it'll look like she lost.
No, it'd be more like a day with Fauci and Ron Paul. It'd be like a draw. I hate you. No, I hate you more. No, I hate you more. No, I hate you more. I've hated you longer than you've hated me. You know, it'd be like this tit and tat shit. Because nothing ever comes of anything, Bob. I mean, that's what's happening now. Nothing's come of anything.
Right. So she gets to present her evidence, and the people will be watching this, and they will learn from it. Holy shit. They're all going to be impressed with what she presents, right?
And then sedition will kick in. And they'll say, where did you find the head of Mavis Davis? And she'll say, it was on my night bedside chamber.
And
she says, I found it on the cusped edge of Dobbstown. That's where.
Just look under the left paw, the Sphinx.
On the left paw of a gold dorade armaloo bedside chamber. Yeah, that's good.
So, Karen's gonna have a good time watching that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yes you won't. You'll be busy. Fucking a book. You need to stop reading them, Bob. You should start fucking them. You might get more pleasure out of them. You tear these books up. It's just not really worth it. It's terrible what you have to go through. Going through words.
What did
words,
you say? I should get more pleasure out of the books I'm reading? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, you should fuck the books instead of reading them. Because the books that you're reading, they're not doing you any good. At least get some release. You'd fuck the books. Just say, fuck the books. Yeah, that's better. Fuck the books. That'd be better.
Okay, so I looked up capillaries. You mean the tiny blood vessels that transport blood?
Yeah.
That word, capillaries.
That's right.
And what were they? Sidney Powell has access to the capillaries. I think that's what you were saying.
Where the grits and the guts and the gravy hook up. And they don't need to press too hard because she can pin the tail, and like many of them, she can pin the tail on the donkey. She got Powell out of shit nobody would ever believe he'd get him out of.
You mean Flynn, not Powell. She got Flynn out of.
You're right, because it's Sidney Powell. Yeah. You're right. It's Flynn. Yeah. Yeah, that's correct.
Are there millions of people who know, intuit, oh, boy, Sidney's going to nail them. They see that coming. They know she's got the good.
They watched her. She's become an institution, and all she is just a very good lawyer. And now she's fucking a constitution.
Okay.
Otherwise, they're calling all the lawyers to Congress to talk. Why does she have something to say? What is it that she's got going on that would put her in the crosshairs of Nasty Pelosi? Who is she? Who is she?
Right.
You see the rub?
Right. Why
haven't you asked about Ukraine yet, Bob? You should really ask about that.
Oh, is Russia going to invade? I don't take that stuff seriously.
Oh, I know, but they are. And it's going to come because they know Biden's asleep.
Right. And they know Biden's dead. Okay?
Yeah, well,
you know, nobody's
worse
in charge
than dead.
There.
No. It doesn't matter who's in charge. That dead or not dead, that doesn't matter. They know that the U.S. ain't going to do nothing. That's it.
Whereas Biden would say, his image will say they're going to do something.
Correct. Or not, or make a sanction, or I'm going to write you a terse letter. You invade that country, I'm going to write you a very terse letter. You can know that. You can look for that in the post. It's coming. Yes, it is. It's like cocktail, whatever.
So does this invasion by the Russians of Ukraine start the Middle East war?
No, just a distraction. Don't worry about that. It's tick-tock of the alarm clock. Tick-tock, the clock don't stop. Yeah, okay. It's just increasing the tension. That's why we're under pressure. Remember the Queen song, Under Pressure? It's just more pressure. It's at every level. Oh, the crime's going to kill us. Oh, no, we're going to war with Ukraine. Oh, no, North Korea's got bombs that can blow us up out of our bed. Oh, no, China's got our alarm clocks. We'll never be able to wake up in time to die from the problem. We can't deal with it. I don't have any idea. Oh, my God, Pope Benedict's now been accused of pedophilia. No, that's not true. They digitized the book at the bottom of the Vatican. We're going to find out that the aliens have been here for a long time and prove Dobbstown always was. What in the world is going to come of this world? It's falling. We've gone to the dog, Bob. Dobbstown's doghouse. Dobbstown's doghouse.
It'll just be a distraction. It'll just be a distraction. Oh, yeah. Okay.
But a good one, goddamn, it'll be a good one. Don't think they won't be. It'll be good.
There's a difference between the gay community and the flamers. Flamers are the ones that make you, because you're a heterosexual, if you are, that make you feel uncomfortable. They're going to get in your face to such a degree that you're going to be uncomfortable, because that's the only way they can be superior, is because you have to be less than. So they're going to use all their energy to make sure they bring it forth of a flamer of in your face, you know, the RuPaul's, over the top, ego driven ids that would drive you into the drag queen world to make everyone uncomfortable otherwise. Same thing that, Joan Rivers tried to do, over the top. She was just trying to be funny. Well, all she was trying to do is make a buck. She was just trying to make money. She didn't care what she said or to whom she said it. Grow up! Already, grow up. So it was just to be funny, and then to just make money, funny money. It's all good.
You're saying the majority of the gay people are not egomaniacs, making this mean that they're superior to heteros. That's not
correct. Typically, that's the case, because it doesn't gain them anything. Because now, when they become the top of the food chain, then they got to feed everybody. Well, that's not what they're trying to do. They're too busy. They're trying to go find a cosmopolitan to sip on or something. You know, they're not trying to run nothing. They just want to find somebody that'll be faithful to them. Most of them aren't. So now it's like, well, shit, here we go. I can't get even be a good gay. I mean, it's going to be bad to be gay. Now I can't be a good gay. I'm a lonely gay. That's pretty bad. Seems pretty hard to not even be an efficient homosexual, you see.
It's pretty hard to not be an efficient homosexual.
Correct. You'd think if you have that lifestyle, it would be easy to engage. And what they find out is that it's just as hard to be a hetero as it is to be a homo. You have the same challenges.
Next point, are there personality changes after the first, what we call vaccine shot, over the past year or so, whatever vaccine, which had the lethal stuff in it, the graphene and whatever else you say about it? Are there personality changes of that powerful deadly vaccine?
Yes, it'll start off slow, but then people like the schizophrenic will become paranoid schizophrenics. Or like, let's say someone who suffers from schizophrenia, it's already started. Like people that they choose to be homeless and they blame it on drugs, but most of this is an imbalance in their brains. So then they'll go down to the subway system and just start pushing people in front of trains when the train's pulling up. Well, you can't really compete with that, Bob. You can't really prepare for that. You got to stay up against the wall. If you're up against the wall, you'll miss your train. You can't travel to New York. You can't ride a car in New York City, for God's sake. You go broke. You can't have a car. Costs $15,000 a month to park your damn car if you can get a parking plate. So there's no way to function there, you see. So you can't ride the subway, and it's turning them into whatever their abnormalities are, or admiralities. We can't even say it. The abnormal aspects of them, it puts a magnifying glass on it. So if they're depressed, they become more depressed. If they're manic, they become pseudo-manic or super-manic or over-manic, you see. And if they have whatever that proclivity is, if they have kleptomania, they'll be more of it. And you see people just walking into stores and gathering up stuff and hauling it out. They had that as a propensity, but they never did it until now, and now there's nothing they can do about it. Well, they can. I guess the people who own the store can start shooting them in the face. Okay, it's murder. Well, I'm not going to pay no bond. Let me take the money out of his pocket that he was trying to rob me and pay my bond, because you ain't going to make him have no bond, so we'll do it that way. Come get you. I'm not calling 911. I'm going to call the coroner. That's how we saw it. Just come break in my house and see what happens to you. It'd be great. That's the thing that's changed. So everybody has a heightened sense of relativity. So whatever their issues, everybody has their, quote, demons. That's what you call it. They have their demons. Well, their demons are becoming more and more pronounced. If they're a liar, they become a, what is the kind of liar that doesn't know they're lying? Psychopathic liar or something.
Right, right.
The point is that
the vaccination shots are doing this intensification. That's what you're saying.
Yes, and then other people are using this as an excuse to let their hair down. So there's really not much difference, for real. See, adrenaline flows when adrenaline flows. Well, if everybody knows they can go rob the Walgreens, well, let's go rob the Walgreens. You see? But they're not buying Sudafed so that they can make meth, because the fentanyl is better and cheaper coming out of China. They're not used to people would rob the drugstores for the codeine, for the morphine, for the morphine sulfate. They don't even want that. That's like aspirin tablets. They can get nothing out of that. They ain't no good. Adderall. Who the hell wants Adderall? Ain't no good to that. That don't work. I got some good stuff. We get some profiteroles. That's better. At least that'll make you fat. Profiteroles.
What was that little bit about all the drugs? You're saying
they're not breaking in the drugstores to rob the used to. The drugstores had to have security and lock up their Schedule II
right.
drugs.
So why are they breaking into the drugstores?
To steal mascara, to steal perfume, to steal tato chips, to steal hair dryers or what? Stupid stuff, Bob. They're not even bothering with the pharmacy because they don't care about that. What they got on the street is cheaper than robbing a damn pharmacy.
Well, what's this got to do with personality changes from the vaccine?
From somebody that would be driven to that propensity, like a little kleptomaniac that might take a pack of gum or a cookie or something. That's what people are. It's making them become raging kleptomaniacs. And they're stealing
so
stuff that don't even matter.
Yeah, they don't care. They just want to they like stealing, getting away with it. They don't care what they're stealing. That's what
you're saying. That's correct. And then the vaccine raises those propensities. So if you're a nymphomaniac, you're going to be a raging nymphomaniac. That's the difference.
Okay, good. There's something called the Gary, the hacker in England. He hacked into NASA. And he found a list of employees who were part of the off-world space program. Was that a secret space structure being built out there by the Project Paperclip Nazis that even John Kennedy found out about? What is the off-world space program?
I mean, you're not going to get that today. You don't have time to develop it. But, yes, it is a thing, and, yes, it is a base. It's just outside. Well, there's two parts to it. One part is just outside of the Earth's orbit, and the other part's just outside of the solar system. But we're going to have to develop that, Bob, because you just now got enough energy, knowing about enough energy to make that even possible. So that's why we're going to wait for a second to develop it. But that's going to be a whole session. So good.
So that's what Dr. Beter was talking about, the secret laser beams and the Rockefellers versus the Bolsheviks in the 70s. Mm-hmm. So that's what he was talking about, the secret program that the Project Paperclip Nazis ran with Wernher von Braun and that. Yeah.
As well, that's great.
Because
that's,
they already started
a larger step.
Yeah.
That's a larger step.
And they were able to do that in NASA because they were already doing it in Germany. in the 30s.
Yeah. Well, Germany got wind of it from Adolf Hitler, and you was involved in that, too. You got a hold of that, too, so you got it to the place where you can go, oh, okay. And you just all you did was capitalize on it. Adolf Hitler wasn't that bright, so you know that.
Okay, so you said last week that would get us into the Nixon White House UFO file, well, the implied UFO file. Are you ready to talk about that?
No.
Nixon, okay, not that. Okay, are you ready to talk about Gough whistling them in the Pine Gap in Australia?
No.
No? Okay.
Pick a better topic. You're going these esoteric things. Get to the dirty here and now. All that stuff doesn't even matter. Do something
more. We did the dirty hill here now in the first hour, in Carolyn's second. Mm-hmm. There was a guy named Charles Delachaux, D-E-L-L-S-C-H-A-U, and he made paintings back in the 30s or so, and he has Trump in his paintings, the name Trump. What was he picking up on?
Fred.
Fred's influence?
Yep.
All right, so Fred told him. Okay, Fred. So was Fred pretty aware, semi-Gene Dixon level of awareness? You might call a seer.
In those days, it wasn't like that, Bob. You just had an impetus. Some people were sensitive. You see?
Yeah.
And see, that's kind of like Mae Brussels. Mae Brussels would die and go to hell. She didn't want to be, it was against her religion to be psychic or a seer. She just wanted to be a good receptionist, or she wanted to be a good researcher that could adapt and follow the science that she was trying to present, or the facts, just the facts, ma'am, and would have information. She looked at all those newspapers. Well, you couldn't do what she did. She knew where to look. But she never wanted to pimp herself as a Gene Dixon, because for her that would be an apostasy. That would be disastrous. You couldn't do that. Man. No, 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 no. But if she proved it all by her research, that just made her an efficient, coefficient researcher.
Yeah, she was psychic. She took advantage of what she could see, but she made it efficient.
She could just as easily says, I have a special gift, and I know who you are, and I know what you're going to do. And on my recording on Tuesday, you need to come out Wednesday for the next Tuesday from last Tuesday. You'll know everything you need to know, but it'll take a week to get it to you, though, you see.
Well, when she met John Lennon and Yoko Ono in the early 70s, when they funded the first magazine, Paul Krasner's The Realist, for her first article.
The Realist. Yeah.
Yeah. She said she didn't like Yoko. What was the issue there? Was her dislike of Yoko justified?
Yoko. Yeah, it was, because Yoko is dark. And she could always tell. She talked about the light and the dark, and like forces of light and forces of dark. She made great relevance of the bad guys and the good guys, and the relevance and the unrelevant things. She made a big deal about how she ran it. So what this was, she saw him as light and saw Yoko as complete and utter darkness.
Oh, you're saying Mae Brussels saw the light and dark forces.
Yeah, of course. She knew who to chase.
Right. So Yoko didn't believe that, but Yoko represented a dark force.
She still does.
The way she was.
She ain't dead. She still does. She ain't dead.
Does she know about that?
Yeah, she does. Of course, she's scared to death.
What did you say?
She's scared to death. She's like you. She's scared to death of you. Worse than Dennis Prager.
You look that up. Yeah, that name came up. It's that. I even know how to spell that. Okay, Dennis Prager. Dennis Prager, he's like the new Rush Limbaugh or Glenn Beck. He's an American conservative talk show. But you're saying he's dark. He's a dark guy.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so I have a lot of topics.
There you go. 6 hours ago from a Twitter account, here's Yoko Ono. You are never lacking power and confidence. Look at yourself in the mirror. The mirror tells you that you are healthy and strong. Now, what kind of hell bent thing is that to goddamn say?
Well, that's what the New Agers say. That's what people think is positive. They think
but she's 88 fucking, she's 88 fucking years old. She's not a New Ager.
Right, but that there's a truism there. And Carolyn tells whatever people to do that on a radio show.
Now do you see why we paid you, said both of you off the dark soul?
Yeah, that's why you would support each other. You certainly would. Yeah, that's right.
No, Carolyn support. I don't support Yoko, but I mean, I'm yelling at Laura, or whatever her name is, on Jack's show, the one who runs New Age Workshop. She says that stuff. And after, Jack told me, Carolyn, after that, she got money. Yes, that's right. And she called up Jack and said, what was he going on about? What? Why was he mad at me? Like she had no clue of the darkness of what she was talking about. And you're saying Yoko is putting out this apparently positive New Age memes, and you're saying it's not appropriate to do that.
Yeah, right. She's worse than May Pang.
Aha, the one who undermined her. Stole John away.
Yeah.
Is he alive?
You know you're worse.
Is she still alive?
Well, of course, Bob. Okay. She's only 71.
Right. Is there a genetic basis to speech disorders?
Of course.
Anything you want to add to that, Carolyn? The genetic basis to speech disorders?
No.
That's normal. Is there an ion way to overcome that? It's not limited by genetic laws.
There is no genetic laws. You're rewriting genetic laws. You're rewriting everything that you have as rules and regulations about an otherwise dying world is gone. That's over. So if dog sperm can prove CRISPR, it can change you and it can take the xylobots and grow you a new leg. Oh, wait, we've been saying that for a long time, haven't we?
So that's what you mean is the law of genetics appears to be affecting speech orders. And you said that, but that I am saying those limitations aren't in charge anymore. That's what you're saying.
Nope. That's exactly right.
All right. All right, I have here the DNA.
And the fat lady has started the aria.
Right.
It's like the Unjoy Reed show.
Right. This is the real lockdown, Bob Rubel, being implemented. The long-range, more solid one. You have no comment on that? You don't agree with me?
We don't care. What? We don't really matter. It's all good. We don't care. We're just watching the Democrats take on and make their whole run. They're going on every outlet, 20 at a time. They're running all over it with Harris, Psaki, and all the Democrats are running to rescue poor Joe on BBB. That's the big bad bitch. The big bad bitch. They were trying to say the big bad bitch because the cleanup is on aisle B, Bob. It's aisle B. It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Apparently,
and they've only got 2 weeks. Beg your pardon?
And but it's not going well.
Yeah, but what'd you call it? You said something is not going well.
Their work, the clarifications of rewriting the words that were said is not going well because everybody's playing the words exactly what he said.
Go back and read what I said. Read what I said. I didn't say you were George Wallace. I said you was going to be on George Wallace's side. That's different. Yeah. Bull Connor wasn't that bad. I slept with him. He was a good dude. He's like Corn Pop when he used to rub the hair on my legs when I was a little boy.
Yeah, that's the one.
Who's he referring to? I missed the noun.
Corn Pop and Bull Connor.
Oh, okay. All right, so these guys, Jen Psaki and them, are running around to get things cleaned up before my birthday, correct?
Yeah.
That's a big day.
Because they know that the jig is up and they're running hard because they know it's going to be too wet to plow. Now, this is the other side now. You got to be careful. If they don't y'all, I don't know who the superfluous y'all is, but if y'all don't fuck this up, this is going to be a fabulous, triumphant ascension. But if y'all fuck it up, I don't know how it's going to go. Because in order for you to be right...
What are you referring to? Are you talking about my birthday party or what?
from that, from the birthday party forward, Groundhog Day forward. And in order for you to be right, Bob, everybody else has got to be wrong. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Understand that? Okay.
Yep.
So in order for that to be the case, everybody's got to be wrong. Okay? So that'll give you the run. So now the whole wide world has got to turn against you, which that's not odd. You're not, I don't even, that's a walk in the park. That's no big deal. You know, what if Quinnipiac doesn't even hold me in regard? It's all good. That's fine. That's a walk in the day in May. So
did you say the Quinnipiac? Park, the Quinnipiac pollsters?
Yeah. So that doesn't make any difference. But the point is that you've got to get their attention. They're only going to get their attention when you're right and they're wrong. And that's what's coming. So what we want to do is shift all this and undo a lot of this and get things back to something that resembles normal. Because you got to get you got to get the niggas back to work, Bob. They not gonna work when they can don't have to work. Why should I work? I want $400,000. If Fauci makes $430,000 a year, I'm not flipping them hamburgers for one penny less than that. If I do have to wear 3 masks. You're gonna pay me, goddammit. I'm gonna get paid. If that motherfucker makes $430,000, you're gonna pay my bitch ass. I ain't flipping your goddamn hamburger. Boy, and by the way, I need a $10,000 signing bonus to consider your offer. And people are going, yes, sir, cut you a check. Will you take PayPal? We'll have to PayPal it to you. We'll have to see. Because folks are like, they're not gonna have it. They're not having it anymore. Because now it's kind of a place. And see, like, any little thing blows through, people have to take 2 weeks off. I don't know who's paying the mortgages of all this shit. I don't know who's paying the mortgages because ain't nobody working, so it ain't nobody giving no money. And yeah, it's not going to be pretty, Bob.
Okay.
But that's okay.
Thank you.
Because the death is going to take that over. But the shining of ascension is going to make it all worthwhile for those that ascend. So we're fixing to change the tune from gloom, despair, and agony on me, deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. That's fixing to be past. We fixing to start singing the song of sixpence, a catcher in the rye. Yeah, Salinger.
Very good. Okay.
We're going to start bringing up the point of the goodness of this process. We told you what's wrong with you if you don't ascend. Now we're fixing to start giving you the benefits of ascension. From here, from your birthday forward, that's what it's going to be.
That's right. Okay, I have here the DNA / RNA, that interplay, DNA and RNA, is the Temple of Solomon. Is that a correct statement?
Define the Temple of Solomon.
Well, I think of the building, an actual building, an externality.
I didn't ask you what you thought. I asked, what is it?
Oh, that's what I just said. It's the building. But as a metaphor.
No. It's dinoribonucleic acid. The temple is made of polynucleotide chains. So if that's true, yes. Then RNA is what's inside the temple. But you have to have, hold on. The ribonucleic acid and the nucleic acid has to conform to, wait for this, Solomon's ring. That's the one chromosome with the rings and arms. You put the ring on the hand that attaches to the arm of Solomon himself. And so when you say it like that, if you understand that, the reason why we did this on purpose was so that you didn't have these green bra, have her tarot say some other bullshit about it. We weren't going to put up with that. So we had to make sure that it was clear, the representation of the deoxyribonucleic acid is the house of Solomon's temple. And the RNA, ribonucleic acid, is the content of the temple.
Right, and people talk about it's the temple inside you. That's a phrase from Christianity, I think. That's what it's referring to.
stupid.
Yeah, they didn't understand. Temple. They didn't get what you
said. The temple inside you. I'm going to have a temple inside my temple. Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, good. Good. Do that. I would, too. But good.
Okay. The J.W. always said he wanted to build the Temple of Solomon. He has gotten, he got to that with the RNA drops and the eye cell. Right?
Yeah. Because there's, yeah, and you know how? Because there's three forms of DNA. There's A form, B form, and Z form. The Z form is what we're going to shine on, Mr.
Yeah, did you say A and then B as in Bob? Those are the first two?
Yeah.
Do you know about those, Carol, or is that ion?
Z, and then Z form DNA.
Yeah, these are your terms. Carol didn't learn that in Dalhousie, right, Carol?
Look it up.
Oh. She did learn it. She did learn it.
No, I did not.
Oh, yeah.
But it's there in the Wikipedia. Okay? Okay, ready, Ian? Next question.
Jane Wyman would be so proud, Bobby, and just now overtaken Falcon Crest. You got it now, Bobby.
Okay, so some of the
get some work done. You're lollygagging. Yeah. Get some work done.
Yeah. Some of the TV programs are Temples of Solomon or have DNA RNA factors in them, the way you cite TV shows.
Well, if you understood mediacology like Mr. Martinez, then yes, Bob, it would yes, that would be very significant. But I don't know that you know mediacology well enough to make such a broad spectrum conversation, but yes, we agree. We'll have to check with James Curtis and see what he thinks about your vast position with TV body.
Okay, so a year ago, Scott talking brought up a philosopher of plasma. Everything was plasma. Ian told Scott to go fuck himself. It was a silly idea. But I've noticed that you do talk about plasma since then a little bit more. Almost as the amount of time Scott talks about it. What are you talking about?
Well, he doesn't understand sheath telemetry. He calls everything is how you prove hypersonic flight. He understands. He doesn't even understand what blood plasma even is or whole plasma. He has no membrane definition of plasma. It is only from a projection of energy that's contained in a field. And so we told him to go have a nice, well, we really want to corrupt your tape is what we might say. But it would not be very pleasant if something he could do to himself with a considerable amount of phylactic acid. But what we would say is that we talk about plasma sheath telemetry. That's what we talk about. That's what we're trying to make a point. But now you can check with Bertrand, and he'll change your life.
What is it you're saying? Plasma sheath? C-H-I-T?
S-A-H-E-A-T-H. A-T-H. Then telemetry. Oh, you know that one.
You don't know that. You're saying plasma sheath is a term in telemetry.
Yeah.
And
that's what we talk about.
That's not what the metaphysician... That guy, the metaphysician of plasma that Scott was talking about, got him
busy with you.
You're not talking kind of plasma.
He still thinks that Bucky Fuller got saved, Bob. You can't go by that. you can't go by that.
Right. Okay. What is the difference between bump? Now, QAnon was a bump, or Q. Q was a bump versus spirit versus parallel worlds. What is the difference of those three?
One is an end to a means, and the other one is a means to an end.
Are you talking about spirit versus parallel world or spirit versus bump?
Spirit versus bump.
Well, we talk about astral energies, Akasha, you know, the theosophical terms. That was their terms for spirit.
And don't forget cocaine. That people get a bump of cocaine. They need a bump.
That's right.
Thing.
But the using the words Akasha and astral body and that.
Oh, we wish you would.
Is that spirit? Do you say that spirit?
We wish you wouldn't. We think it's a glib, clicheable archetype. Nobody knows what it means, but everybody applies it to their wicked woo-woo-like position that they try to embrace for themselves when they can't look in the mirror and know they got wrinkles under their goddamn eyes.